The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, Jules, on this, what day is today? Saturday?
Friday.
We're taping on Friday, but they're listening. It'll be Saturday, but we're taping on the 3rd. The new year has begun with cold temperatures and a little bit of snow on the ground, but... Mm-hmm. We move forward, and I was listening to last night. I watched the 10 o'clock news, and Jeremy Luan said that it's going to be very cold for the next 2 weeks. So
yes,
be prepared for the cold. I'm okay. Like I told you, I'm okay with the cold. So let's just – I don't like it freezing, but I don't – we keep moving forward, right?
That's what we do. Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. And we are heading into birthday season in my family.
Yes,
so
we are. Yes, we all are.
Look forward to yours, too. Yes. We have a lot of cake and festivities in the future. We always have to have something to look forward to. So we're lucky in that sense, right, that we have all these.
That's right.
You have birthdays up the same time we do.
Yep.
It's pretty fun.
To both of my boys, the end.
Merged.
Yeah. End of January for my boys and beginning of February into middle Feb for my sister and brother and my cousin, and then Valentine's Day, and my nephews at the end of January. And so we've got lots happening. So, yeah. And they always come up and they my kids are 6 days apart, almost 5 years to the day. And then mine is 2 weeks after theirs collectively. And then my sister's is a week after mine. My brother's the day after. My cousin's Valentine's Day. My nephew is the 26th of January. My brother Jimmy's son, Seamus. So we've got them coming and going. Donna Barbetti and Rose Broderick, their birthday is the 26th of January. So lots of friends' birthday. Yeah, so it's all good.
Yeah,
I love birthdays.
We have a lot to look forward to. Me too.
And yeah, birthdays are good. Lynn and I used to get nuts when people say, "Oh, I don't want to talk about my age," and we used to say, "Why not?" Like so many people are, deprived of the ability to have one that would want it. Like I always think of my mom, and I think my mother wouldn't have cared how old she was. She just wanted another year. So I think we need to think like that and just keep
going. I kind of separate the two things. I think you can enjoy your birthday cake and a nice dinner with your family and friends. You can celebrate, but you don't need to discuss the number. And that's kind of how I handle it. I just don't discuss it. But yes, I want my cake. Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people. Lynn and I were on the same wavelength, though, when it came to that.
Yeah.
We're like, what difference does it make? Like, you know that old line a friend of mine said, someone said to her, "Why don't you dye your hair? You'll look about 10 years," because she was gray. And she said, someone said to her, "If you dye your hair," I used to say that to my mother all the time too, but she said, "If you dye your hair, you look like 10 years younger." And she looked at the person with the great line and she said, "Yes, but would I be?"
Right.
Would I be? No. So, yeah, I don't – who cares? I just take that road.
Do what
who
you
cares?
Feel comfortable doing.
That's right. Everybody
like
has
talk
their
about
own
talk
way.
About it. If you don't.
Yep,
okay.
I do.
Yeah.
That's it, baby.
So, I don't know. I don't know how you handle birthdays in your family as far as, you know, the meal planning, but I have to tell you, my nephews are already planning what they're going to have for dinner and what kind of cake they're going to have. And it's just hilarious to me because the first one, the first nephew birthday is at the end of January. So we have some time. Then the other one, you know, my youngest nephew, his birthday is the same day as you, Laurie. So
we have
time here. We have a little bit of time, but they are already, they're really putting a lot of thought into it, into what they're going to have for supper and what kind of cake they're going to have. And it just cracks me up because I've never seen children dine the way these two do. They truly, truly enjoy their meals, and it's adorable. And it makes you want to go the extra mile for them because you know that effort is well worth it. They appreciate all of it, and they really have a good time. So, I think we're going to do something maybe a little bit different with a couple of them because they're wanting to mix it up a little. I just hope, I'm holding my breath, because do you remember the whole fiasco I had with that making the cookies for the cookie cake last year where I made fake Oreos and how horrible, difficult that was. I'm afraid he liked it so much. I'm afraid he might ask for that again. If he does, no, I'm going to suck it up and do it. But I'm like, all right, just brace yourself because it might be coming. There was mention of that. I didn't throw it out. I was kind of hoping that he would forget about it, but he didn't. He liked it a lot. Yeah, it was good.
That's okay.
I wanted, it's that filling. The filling, you have to use gelatin to make the filling. And it really is very similar to an authentic Oreo cookie. But you have to use gelatin. And that is the part that I found to be a little bit tricky and complicated and probably beyond my skill level to be doing. But I did it. And so this year I thought, I'll just make vanilla icing and put that in between the chocolate wafers, because the chocolate wafers were easy. It was just the filling that made it hard. But when I mentioned that idea was rejected immediately. So,
well, you'll do your best. Whatever they want, you'll get. Maybe they've researched another type, and they'll perplex you even more. But, you know, it's bizarre. It's really the beauty of baking is chemistry. It's math. It's science, excuse me. I mean, it's wealth math too, but that's amazing. And we were talking about, I was just watching something this morning about a bakery, a woman who left her job and started a bakery because she cooked her whole life, and that she was fascinated with the measurements and that's really, and what comes out and how things are. And people, if you pay attention to that and you do it that way, sometimes it's even just, which I find fascinating, it's even just the humidity in the air that can cause something to not work or work. I think I said this, but, you know, the only cookies I made were, Tommy made them, the dough, and then I made the cutouts, but they were delicious this year. So, and they're still going strong. So I think, you know, when you find something you love, keep doing it, and it works. So, Julie, practice makes perfect. So maybe if they do say it, you'll master it, and you'll be a pro at it. And then you can make a gluten-free version. You can make a gluten-free version. The icing
is. The cookie itself. Maybe I could substitute an almond flour.
Yeah, or a cup for cup, measure for measure.
There's no nut allergy, right? So,
no.
That might work. That might actually be quite delicious. I like working with almond flour. So I do want to up my game with gluten-free because I have family members who are gluten-free now, and I have friends like you who are gluten-free, and I'd like to be more competent and skilled in making things that they can, that you can all enjoy.
All right.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, it is. But it's really easy. I mean, this cup for cup flour that's available is so easy. All you do is, and as long as you use that one, you know, that says measure for measure, a cup for cup, it's perfect because you just do the exact substitution of the gluten-free flour from the regular flour in a regular recipe. And it works out great. Tommy and I have been doing that for a long time, and it works.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yeah, I'm going to practice.
Yeah, it's good. But yes, birthday season is coming up quickly, and then I always like that because, you know, Christmas is over, then you have a little bit of time, then the birthdays hit you, boom, 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 and then next thing you know, it's the beginning of March, and things are looking nicer, and the days are longer, and spring is on the horizon, and then the Society of Irish Women event will happen, which I always love, and I, this year, am the MC, Julie, so...
Wonderful.
Yeah, and my dear Barb Partika is the president of the society this year, and she is a love of all loves, and we're going to have a nice time. So that'll happen, and then, you know, Katie shower and Easter, and well, first Easter, then her shower, and then Sean's wedding. So I've got, and I'm planning to go away, just talk to my sister-in-law yesterday, and I'm hoping to do that. We're thinking of going away for a few days down to visit my nieces, her daughters, and their new babies for a couple days for the one's first birthday, Evelyn's first birthday. So I think I have a busy couple of months, and so we'll just keep moving forward and knocking those off. So that's the plan so far. So 2025 is starting off busy, Jewel.
Good.
Yeah, it's all good. And before we know it, as we say all the time, my Shawnee's wedding will be here, and oh my God, I can't wait for that. So, just keeping our fingers crossed on everything.
What did you
moving,
do for New Year's Eve?
We went to Brenda Pistocchi.
Did you stay in or go out?
No. We went to Brenda Pistocchi's house for dinner. She invited a bunch of us, a couple friends down. Tommy came with us, and we had dinner, and we watched the Penn State game, half of it there, and then we drove home and watched the remaining at my house, and we had a great time. She made spaghetti bolognese, gluten-free, and it was delicious. It was actually fettuccine, and it was great. We had a great time. She did an antipasto, and just like you're at the restaurant again. Brenda's a great hostess, and we had lots of fun. And they watched Anderson and Andy, whom I love dearly. They are hysterical. Andy Cohen, I told you, I think I said this, that if someone said, who would you want to have lunch with, dinner with, talk to, in someone popular, you know, pop culture, and three people. I said I would do three people: Andy Cohen, Bill Clinton, and Warren Buffett.
Interesting.
Those are the three. I think I said that before, but so I love Andy. So we watched the ball drop and Times Square. We stayed up, and I went to bed about 1 o'clock, and it was great. And I always try to stay up and make sure I watch that sucker fall. So.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I did not stay up.
I know. Go to sleep. Yeah.
I can't. I can't do it. There was no reason to. I stayed in, and I was tired, so I went to bed. Yeah.
Well, that's what a lot of people do. And I don't, Julie, I don't love New Year's Eve. I've never gotten into that let's go out as a group or any of those places. I like house parties, and I used to do them when I lived in Philly. I used to have parties. And I don't mind going to houses, like, for that kind of thing, but I don't like to be out. I like to be home at that time, later on, so that's where we are. But it was a, peaceful, nice night, and then Sunday we were home for the morning and afternoon, and then we went over to my brother Jimmy's, and he had a couple people over, and Tommy made pizza, which most years we do in between Christmas and New Year's. We pick a date and we go over, and Tommy makes the pizza, and he did a great job. He did some gluten-free and some regular, because there's a bunch of us gluten-free at my brother's, because he has two sons who also have celiac, and meet yours truly, and my sister-in-law eats gluten-free because she's sensitive, doesn't have celiac but has a sensitivity, and so there's enough of us around.
Yeah.
And that was a good time. It was fun, and it brings people together, and it's easy. Well, I say easy because Tommy's the one making it, but he makes it look so easy. So, yeah, we had a great time. Bunch of, at my my sister-in-law's best friends and her neighbors and all the kids. And my brother has five kids, and they were all there. And it was great. So we had a lot. And I love every one of them. They're the sweetest, most kind young people. And I'm, and my nephew's in the Army, and he was home for 2 weeks. And actually, he leaves today to go back. And my niece, who lives in L.A., is in for another week. So it was good. But good. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, Jules, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And our producer extraordinaire is Miss Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And Julie's going to tell you what she does best.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
Yay. And, Jill, we were having a little discussion off air, and it's always a controversial subject. I mean, people either love them or hate them. Gift certificates.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday, I was getting my nails and pedicure done at my beloved Studio RD in the 300 block of Penn by Stephanie Gilroy, who's excellent. And I will be going back there today because I go all over the place once a month. I'm in a couple different spots. And Stephanie will do my hair color. And yesterday I got my hair cut at Sanderson State Street Salon by Taryn Martin, who I love. And I go to different people for these things. And then I'll go back to Studio RD for my hair color today. I used to go to Jessica, and you, Julie, is a Jessica client.
Yes.
And loves her.
Yes.
Goes up to the Clark Summit office of Studio RD, and we love our Jess, but I like being downtown, so I got in with Stephanie, and I love her. So very happy with these services, but I will tell you that I'm one of these people who love gift certificates, because I used to, when I was a major Dunkin' fan, which I am not. I love their iced tea, love everything they have. I can't eat anything of what they have, you know, because of the gluten situation. But I love their iced tea, and I don't often go there anymore. I used to be there all the time. They stopped serving fresh lemon with their iced tea, and that is just, to me, an absolute ridiculous move. Corporate people need their heads knocked together. Why would you think that cutting fresh lemon from iced tea, people who drink hot tea like lemon, drink people who drink iced tea like lemon, I don't even like iced tea unless there's lemon squeezed in it, and it drives me crazy. So I stopped going there and protest, and I always go to McDonald's because they give fresh lemons, and it's cheaper, and it's great. So I go there, and I love what the Ronald McDonald houses do, so you kind of feel you're supporting that as well. So, but I occasionally will go to Dunkin' because I do still get gift cards, and I will go. I like their hot chocolate. But my point in getting to all of this is I have friends who say, I won't ever give a gift card. I don't like it. I think, you know, it's not personal enough. See, and I think the opposite. I think when you give a gift card for something you know somebody loves, such as my hair or my nails or whatever, I love it. I give them as gifts in conjunction with other things, and I actually have a nice little gift certificate for my hair appointment today that I will use to minus out some of my cost, which makes me happy. So I love all that. And to me, it also supports local businesses. People know that you like it. They pay attention to where you get a service done. They take the time, they go in, they get it, and the stores and the boutiques or wherever, salons, nicely put them together to present as a gift. I love it. So, and then it also supports the store, the restaurant. I mean, I love getting to any of my, you know, favorite lunch haunts such as Mansour's and Abe's and the Downtown Deli and Scanlon's, those are my four that I mostly go to. I love getting them. Do you like them, hate them, kind of on the fence? What do you think about them?
I love getting them.
Yes.
Love getting them because it just makes things so much easier. And I actually did get a gift card for RD Studio and for my brother for Christmas, and that is going to be used in at my appointment in February. So I'm thrilled. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm always grateful for a gift card because then I can spend the money, you know, on if it's something for a store, I can buy what I want in the right size, the right color. You know, I think it takes that burden off of people. I'm super picky about things too. So I recognize that I might not be real easy to buy for sometimes. So a gift card is a big yes. And as far as giving them, I used to feel like it was a cop-out if I gave somebody a gift card. But now I've changed my opinion on this because I do think most people like it.
Yes.
And if I know that they don't, then I don't do it, you know. But for the most part, no, I think a gift card is a great option. And sometimes if you're running short on time, you don't even have to go into the place. A lot of the local businesses now, you can buy them on their website and send it electronically. Mm-hmm. People like
yep.
that too. I think it depends on the person you're buying for. You know
right.
what they're into, what they like, how they roll. But for me, yeah, I love a gift card. I love a digital gift card. I love a physical gift card. However somebody gives me a gift card, I am appreciative. And the one I got for the salon, it was it's a nice little card in a box, and he wrapped
yep.
it. It was the same as getting any other present.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I love it. A lot of people don't like the fact that it shows you the price, and so then you know what they're spending. And to me, someone said that to me, and I'm like, who cares? To me,
who cares?
I don't care
yeah.
if it's 10 cents. The fact that you took the time to know that and to me, they'll say it's so impersonal. It's not. Number one, when you are a pickier person to buy for, and people say that about me all the time. They're like, you're so hard to buy for. No, I'm not. Because I am a creature of habit with the things I do on a monthly basis or a biweekly basis. And that's what I do. You know this
yeah.
is where I go. Why would I be that hard to when you say, here's a gift card for someplace you frequent or getting your nails done? Or I love it. I'm not kidding you. I used to tell people, if when I get a Dunkin' gift card, this is when I was the Dunkin' queen, it's like giving me gold. And it really, so now anywhere I go that I get, someone says, here, buy your lunch or buy your, I love it because it's even more personal because they remembered that's what you like. They took the time
right.
to do it. And now you're getting a nice lunch at one of your favorite places or money towards a lunch, or you're getting your nails done or money towards your color or your cut or whatever. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So as far as just keep on coming with the gift cards. And mm-hmm. it supports local businesses. So you're killing two birds with one stone, so to speak. Supporting the business and giving somebody a gift. To me, it's great. I always, people I know that, you know, my one friend, I give her birthday and Christmas are close together. So I give her a gift certificate to Studio RD for certain for certain services she gets. And then I give her the same thing for Christmas because it helps, you know, when she's going in there every month to get her toes done. So I don't know. I love them. But we did have a conversation amongst a few of my friends. Among a few of my friends, what is the correct word there, Jewel?
Yeah, among. That's right.
Among, right? My friends, about gift cards and whether they like them. And one person who will remain nameless, and usually after I say that I do reveal the name, but I won't, said they hate to do them because they don't like people knowing the price and what the number is. I don't care about that. They do. And the other friend
the other friend just loves them, thinks they're great, just like I do. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I think it's all a matter of personal preference, but to me, you can still wrap it like your brother does. I don't even wrap it because Studio RD does such a nice job putting them in a pretty box and wrapping them with their ribbon that I don't even bother. It's just that it's so simple. But if you wanted to do that, because I love nice wrapping, you could do that too, just like your brother did for you. Then you really don't know what it is till you open it, because when you see it in the with the ribbon and everything, and oh my God, it's a gift certificate. But when you're not, you don't. So it works. So what do you, so you're in favor of it?
Absolutely, 100%. Love it. And I also like when somebody gives me a gift for my pet, if you a gift card to Chewy. I know that one's not local, but a lot of us do rely on Chewy a lot. That is very thoughtful because our pets are our babies, you know.
Well, that's true too. That's a good one.
Yes, and my Moo is on a 100% prescription food diet at this point.
Oh, good.
Right.
Julie, so do you use Chewy?
I do. I use a combination of Chewy and when I can, I like to go back to my vet to get the food because I feel like I want them to have the sale, but it's not always practical. So I do both.
Okay. I've never done anything with Chewy ever.
It 99% of the time works out great.
Okay.
there was a couple of hiccups right before Christmas with the fact that Moo, like, you have to have authorization from your vet, obviously, if you're ordering a prescription food through Chewy, and they must have upgraded their system or changed their system or something, and my order for him was being held up because of this authorization, which the vet had processed a long time ago, and I know that, but it was getting closer and closer to Christmas, and I was getting lower and lower on food, and I can't just give him grocery store food anymore. You know, I have to have this special formula. So I called my vet, and I ended up running over there, and, you know, bless them, over at Memorial Vet in Troop. They put an order together right away for me, and it was like Christmas Eve, and I was running over there to get his food so that we didn't run out. I know. They're so good. But and I was very grateful for them. You know, first of all, I was glad they were open because it was right before Christmas, and but also that they were able to put that through quickly. You know, usually they do require it, you know, a day's notice at least. And, you know, because they have a lot of people doing this and they have to have time, but I told them the situation and they were very helpful. So, and then of course, right after that, the order showed up. So, Moo is stocked on food. I don't have to shop for him for a while, but you know, it does. I think if you just think a little bit about what people need and what they use on a daily basis, gift cards for all of that work really well.
Yeah. Well, let's give another quick shout out too to our great coffee shops around here, such as our friend, go over and see our friend Jen over at Northern Light, which is great. And then the cafe at Fidelity Bank, which is great. I was in there for the first time a couple weeks back and I love it. And Zumo's Cafe, and then is it Retro? What's the one on across from on?
Uncle Pals?
Yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Pals. I think it is the Retro. Boy, I can't think of what the name is. I know exactly where you mean.
Retro Cafe.
Very cute.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, all of those fun coffee stops, and they're just really nice to have around and go in and enjoy. And it's so many people are at Zumo's, which is right down the street from my house, and Fidelity's right up the street. So it's you know, you just go in. But our friend Jen, who always does a great job, and I told you that my Sean loves their frozen hot chocolate. So go on over and see them too. All of those places, so good to support them and keep warm in this nice time of the year. Go in and get a nice hot cup of coffee, tea, or a hot chocolate and enjoy. Or if you're like me, I'd get the frozen anyway. So anyway,
We thank you for listening once again, and we are going to have the lovely Leah Genacopoulos on next to talk about all things real estate. Going to talk a little bit about what a seller assist means, some rates, some points, and just in general all around real estate. So we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business. And with us, with me, is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, tell everybody what you do, kid.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you. And with us is, and that's the with us part, is Leah Genacopoulos, who is a realtor with ERA, One Source Realty. Leah is in the Clark Summit office. There's about 80-some agents in I don't know, 10 counties and 5 offices, and they're all over the place. And Leah is, happy New Year to you, and going
happy
forward, happy, thank you. And we wish you a very successful continued real estate career, because you've been shining for years, and we can hope the shine continues. And Leah, we're always in this mode. We talk about this. We had a little pre-show conversation. We're going to talk about a couple phone calls you got, what you think might go on with rates, where we probably aren't going to go back to, what we need to accept as the norm, so to speak. And also, we want to, let's start with, Leah, a little thing called Seller Assist, which we've talked about before but haven't recently, and I think it's important for people to understand the option and what Seller Assist is and what it does and how it might help you as a buyer and mm-hmm. and the seller, so that we can get this thing to close. So could you explain a little bit of, well, not a little bit, about exactly what it is, mm-hmm. Leah, for everybody?
Well, of course. And so I think sometimes people, maybe even more so a seller, and I've always said it for years, it's totally written wrong in a way. I always feel like it should be called the buyer's assist, because truly it's assisting the buyer, but
exactly.
We call it a seller's assist. But I always said, like, it's just the name is wrong. And then I think the name scares everybody, and then I think people start to panic, and they think that, you know, oh, I don't want to give any more money, or I'm not going to do this or whatever. But that's truly not the case. A seller's assist is it helps the buyer. It aids in sometimes getting them in the house, and you know, it's also something. It's an assistance, and what it contributes to a seller's concession. But the way we have to write it, it does go into the offer. So technically,
okay.
It is assist. The seller is assisting to the buyer. So I guess that's kind of where you could say,
right,
you know, that's where
right.
the name comes. But it's essentially just a credit that the seller gives to the buyer at closing to help pay for the closing costs. So it helps them keep more money in their bank account, essentially, or to keep it for, do you want furniture? I always say, like, you know, you'd probably rather spend that on the mover or the furniture, the this or the that, versus giving it all up front to the bank. And sometimes putting it in your mortgage and taking that small amount and putting it over a 30-year mortgage, which is 360
mm-hmm.
payments, levels it out, and it's a smaller payment instead of giving, say, that $10,000 up front. I mean, it's easier to swallow $36 extra a month on your mortgage than give $10,000. So I think
right.
it just helps give that aid to the buyer. And it also helps, you know, the buyer get in the house, and they could, and a seller could choose to accept or refuse it. You know, they don't have to, or they can counter with a lesser amount because the seller's still in control. So I think that there's, you know, it doesn't always have to be a flat out no. It doesn't also have to be yes. So I'm gonna give you the whole amount. And also, too, a lot of people think, oh, I have to pay the transfer tax on it. Now the buyer could pick up the transfer tax on the seller's assist, and that won't affect you. So the benefits
right.
of it could be for both parties. Like, for the buyer, it can make the home more affordable for them, and it also could help the deal from falling through. If they need more money out of pocket for repairs and less that they want to pay in closing costs, and for the sellers, offering it could help you attract more buyers. So it's
yes.
not a negative that some people do think that it is. Now, there's also limits on it. So for a conventional loan, you can take up to 3%. On an FHA or a VA loan, you could take up to 6% of your purchase price. But
mm-hmm.
also, I always recommend starting off with negotiating with that in the beginning of your offer, you know, because sometimes then it's like, or a lot of people do also throw it in after inspection because it helps more so with, again, cost, cash, keeping right. your cash in your pocket. So, you know, I think, too, educating yourself on it and having that conversation with your seller when you're at the listing appointment and you're explaining, I always go over it because I always go over, we're obviously going to accept cash on this house, a conventional mortgage. Will this house hold up to the FHA and VA standards, or is there too much work that someone may have to do? And sometimes, you know, that's also, I think, we had this conversation actually the other day in the office, and we were talking about, like, you really do need to go back to interviewing realtors and not just being like, well, I know her, so I'm just going to do it. Because, you know, there was a house that I went up for a listing appointment on, and she was like, oh, well, I'm not going to give a seller's assist. I talked with the other realtor on it, and, you know, I already interviewed somebody else. I already talked about the other realtor, and if I do go with you, I just want you to know I'm not accepting a VA loan, I'm not accepting an FHA loan, and I'm not accepting seller's assist. And I said, well, why? And she's like, well, because I have to pay all of that money, and I have to give them that money at the closing. I go, no, you don't. I go, you don't have to. No. You're not taking $10,000. And giving it to them at the closing and saying, here, I just feel generous today, and you wrote it in your offer. Here you go. I said, no. God. I explained it to her. And she's like, that is not how it was explained to me. And then I said, well, why won't you accept an FHA or a VA if the buyer is willing to do the repairs? She's like, well, they could do that. I was told I have to do all the repairs. I said, no, you don't.
Oh, my God.
I said, you could put it on the buyer. Because if you're doing this, you're limiting the possibility of other people coming through. Now, listen.
Yes.
I only know what I know. I could see if there's chipped or peeling paint. I could see if you don't have some GFCIs. I don't know if your chimney flue needs to be corrected. And that could also be anywhere between a $5,000 to a $13,000 cost. And, no, at that point, I don't know if the buyer can afford to fix that. But I also think everyone has, but that's also where a seller's assist can come in and assist you.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that people understand the process of that and that a seller's assist isn't necessarily a negative. I've never looked at it as a negative. The only reason I hated it in the beginning, which is like now 12 years ago, is I couldn't understand why it was written as a seller's assist. And I will never forget the one trainer at ERA, literally the poor thing was racking her brain trying to explain it to me, and I was just like, nope, this is not making sense. I don't understand why it's written like that. What do you mean I'm giving them a credit? And it was literally my first deal, so I had no idea what was, you know, you live and you learn through your first couple transactions. But I remember, and then finally it was Anne, and she sat me down, she put it on a pen and paper, and she showed me everything, and I will never forget learning a seller's assist and how beneficial it could be in the process.
Well, and the thing is, it's really the lender when you think about it, because it's going to depend on them for that to happen, but that goes through the seller because it increases the sale price without it coming into the seller's pocket. So that's the difference, is that it's really, when you think about it, the lender is the one offering that. So it makes sense that the seller can say, hey, I can assist you here in this transaction. And if it's going to help, A, I get my house sold, and B, you can buy it. And the lender's going to go along with this. And it's also approved, depending on what type of mortgage you're getting, by the mortgage company. So it, to me, it's a no-brainer. And just knowing it's there, the only thing that I ran into a problem once with it, Leah, was with the appraisal, because the appraisal did not come to where the seller assist was involved and we had to change something. But other than that, it was only once, and we worked it out, and because you can go up to three. So we had to lower the amount, which was okay, well, because we made it work.
And that's what I always explain. Like, and that's the other thing. I have these conversations because sometimes a seller will say to me, well, what if the house isn't appraised with it? And I said, listen, say that the house is, we have the house on at $200,000. These people need a 6% seller's assist. So the offer's written for $212,000, and the house only appraises for $208,000. Well, they're not getting that $4,000 seller's assist. They're getting the
$208,000.
Right. So we'll get it for $208,000. They're only getting an $8,000 seller's assist. And I always remind them, like, we're in control. We, as the seller, as my listing agent to you, we're in control. So we still don't have to give them everything. That doesn't, you know.
Right.
So, But I definitely,
and they know,
and also too, you don't have to pay commission on it. You do not in the state of Pennsylvania have to pay commission on a seller's assist.
Right, and that's the utmost important part for them most of the time is, well, if I do that, that I'm increasing my commission. No, you're not. Not on that. You do not have to do that. So that's important to know. Okay, I wanted to get that in because I think either people are misinformed or agents don't necessarily discuss it, or if they are discussing it, they aren't giving them the correct information. It's It needs to be. It needs to be told. It's a wonderful feature if it works, and in most cases, it can. So Leah, tell everybody about where we're at. We're not going back, and we're at pretty normal, as we say. And I know we've talked about this a lot. These rates are actually excellent rates. So what are we looking at? What are we? The norm now.
Right now, it's between the higher sixes, sevens, and they are expecting them to hopefully drop a little bit, come probably closer to the end of quarter one, beginning of quarter two of this year. And I do believe that we'll see some traction. But I also think that people have adjusted to these rates of that this is where we're at. And I think also people are understanding that, we're never going – I mean, and I shouldn't say never, right, because you never know.
But
I don't think anytime soon or in this lifetime – we will be seeing 3% mortgage rates. I wish we will, because that would be great. And, I would have bought more houses. But I just don't see that happening. But that's okay, because also I don't think another topic that people know a lot about or have discussions with their buyers and their lenders and everything are mortgage points. And I'm not going to really talk about it a lot. It's just – I think people should have that conversation with their lender of what is a mortgage point and what is that? They are, it's a fee that a borrower would pay to their lender, but it's also in exchange for them to get a lower interest rate on their loan.
Right.
So, it does help, but I think obviously that's a discussion too. Like when you have that conversation with your lender and the different loan programs that's out there and, it's not, again, Lori, I think we've talked about this too in the past. Like it's not your traditional, conventional, I have to come to closing with 20% anymore. There's so many different loan programs to get you somewhere in the house for as little as 3.5%. I had this conversation with another buyer yesterday. His mind was blown that he didn't need 20%.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it. I said, no. I said, and we can also put you in the NeighborWorks program, which is a whole other topic for another day. But he was like, no one told me any of this. And I said, well...
Yeah, and you know what, Leah, maybe we will discuss, in 2 more weeks, let's discuss the NeighborWorks project, because that's important for people to know, too. And a lot of people know about it, but a lot of people don't. So I think that'll be really interesting to discuss how that works, because that's an incredible program that's offered, and I think people will be, it'll be helpful if you know about it. So we are going to talk about that. And then, Leah, before we leave, because we have 1 minute, so just keep calling. Inventory might be getting better, but everything's still the same. People still looking for multi-units or duplexes to start, because it's always a good thing when you get it. You can, get the rental income towards your mortgage and keep it then. Buy another house down the road and keep it as income. So it works. So
absolutely.
Tell everybody how they can get in touch with you or others at ERA to talk about buying or selling their property.
You could reach me directly at 570-947-9250. You could reach me or any of our agents at 570-587-9999 or our website, ERA1.com. And we're on all forms of social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, I guess Twitter's called X now, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, we're there. But easiest would be the 587-9999 or ERA1.com to look for me or any of the other agents in all 5 of our offices, and they're all rock stars, and we had a phenomenal year. So thank you, everybody.
Everybody's grateful for all of the good people at ERA, and we are too. And we thank you, and Leah, have a wonderful new year, and to your family, tell your dad I send my love, please. And because Leah's dad, just repeat this, but I love my Gary, and he and I went to graduated high school together. I love him. He's the greatest guy. So anyway, everybody else out there, have a wonderful weekend. We will see you next week, and we thank you, as always, for listening. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.